But I am so glad that you're here, and may God bless you, especially when you come to church and you see the sermon title as the comfort of morning. And you don't just turn around and leave and go get breakfast or something someplace. God bless you. Morning. Wow, it's probably not the best topic for pastors to preach on. We as people, we really don't like to think about being sad or are hurt deeply or are broken. Man, we get enough of that when it comes our way. We'd much rather, not talk about that kind of thing or hear about it and just kind of leave that as far away as we can from us. But, we'd much rather hear things like, come on, preacher, tell me a joke kind of thing, or sing one of those happy clappy songs, right? But Jesus, in his in this 8-point sermon, his very first sermon that he ever preached, as far as we know, this was his second point. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. They'll be comforted. And of course, this was his first point was blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And last week we talked a lot about that and what these words mean, poor in spirit and theirs and truly what it is to be blessed. Blessed referring to being accepted, being approved by God. Not that subjective feeling of a makarios, being happy or fortunate or privileged, but that objective declaration approved by God. And once one knows that they are approved, then they are certainly going to be happy, are going to be that makarios because of God's approval. Poor in spirit, referring to that beggarly poor, that knowing in my heart, in my mind, that we have nothing at all to commend ourselves to God. We come to God recognizing that we are truly spiritually bankrupt, and we are in need of God's grace. And theirs simply refers to theirs. Theirs alone is the kingdom, which excludes all others who try to come to God with a different kind of spirit than this of beggarliness. So when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, when one hears Jesus' first point of this 8-point sermon, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, we understand Jesus is talking about blessed, approved are you beggarly, poor in spirit, for theirs. Theirs alone is the kingdom of heaven right now and forever. But what about this mourning business? Blessed, approved are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Often when people talk about mourning, they are talking about the loss of a loved one. We mourn over our loss. Is Jesus saying, blessed are those who have loved ones that have died and God is going to comfort them? Is this what Jesus is talking about here in this second point as he speaks to us about the kingdom of heaven? We know that God brings comfort to us when our hearts break, especially over the loss of a loved one, but is this what Jesus is referring to? Or is Jesus somehow referring to that state of mourning where one is just kind of down and out and all depressed, being all kind of gloomy without joy? Blessed are the Christians who look like they've swallowed a sour pickle kind of thing. Is that what he's talking about? Or is Jesus referring to those who mourn over the difficulties of life? Maybe one doesn't get what they want to get. And is that really a bad thing? And truly, the Bible doesn't really say that mourning by itself is a blessed state. Sorrow is not blessed any more than laughter is. In fact, some mourning is cursed. For example, Amnon mourned because his lust was not fulfilled by Tamar. Ahab mourned because he wanted, but he couldn't get Naboth's vineyard. So what does blessed are those who mourn, for they're going to be comforted? What's that mean? Well, I want you to think of it like this. What breaks your heart? What gets you deep down in your bones? What do you see in this world that just truly breaks you, breaks your heart? Well, when I think about that, one of the first things that I think of, for me anyway, is things like injustice. That's something that just tears at me when I see elderly people that are being taken advantage of. When I hear how some lady was talked into replacing her roof and then nothing gets replaced and the guy just runs off with her money. Or how sometimes some of our elderly, or even not our elderly, have to choose between whether we buy food or whether we buy medication. Children is another thing. Children hurt, children abused. Man, my heart just mourns. It just breaks over that. Family is another thing, making terrible choices, and you cannot help them help themselves, no matter how much you want, no matter how much you try. It just doesn't click. That just mourn over that. Desperate poverty. Oh my goodness. It's seen in people who are starving and around our world and even here in our United States. People hungry. And I just hurt over that. I mourn over that. You see, these are some of the things that stir my heart, that makes my heart just kind of break inside. And when we see the brokenness of our world, the injustice, how people use and abuse others, how children can be so mistreated and damaged, the elderly taken advantage of, the lives lost and broken, and relationships ruined. And I think probably a number of you mourn over some of those very same things and others. These, you see, are the things that we can't help but to weep over inside our hearts. These are the things that we mourn over. The brokenness and the result of sin or separation from God in our world. That's really what it's about. But you see, Jesus is not just talking about the out there thing, the out in the world thing, mourning for our world. That's part of it, I believe so, yes. But it's also right here. Right here, first and foremost, because of me. Mourning because of who I am. Mourning because of my separation with God. You see, the first beatitude, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, is primarily intellectual. Those who understand, those who come to the awareness, those who come to know that they are spiritual beggars are blessed. Okay? They're blessed because they come to that knowledge of knowing that they are. The second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, is its emotional counterpart. Get that? It's its emotional counterpart. So when we see ourselves for who we are, we are spiritually bankrupt beggars. That intellectual, that understanding, that knowledge of truly who we are, and our emotions then are stirred because of that. We are stirred into mourning over our sin, my separation from God, mourning over my brokenness with God. Then we can be comforted. I want to tell you, it's a great thing indeed to recognize one's need for God's grace, to realize that who we are apart from God. To know that if we are just left to ourselves, we will truly, if we're just left to ourselves and never allowing that poor in spirit of coming to the understanding that we are spiritual beggars, if we are left to ourselves, we become like what Paul describes in Romans 3, where our souls and our words and our deeds reflect the depravity of our spirit. That we become spiritually worthless and our throats like open graves, full of cursing and bitterness, and our deeds are marked with ruin. Oh, but when we recognize ourselves for who we are, we recognize our poverty of spirit, and that clicks in here, and we come to understand our separation from God. We come to understand our sin. We're confronted with that separation from God, and then we refuse to rationalize our sin. We call sin, sin in our lives. When that occurs, and our hearts break because of that, we mourn because of that, over our sin and over our separation. And we reach out for God's grace. Oh, friends, that is when the divine smile begins to break and we become blessed. We become approved. We become comforted. Forgiven. Forgiven. But listen, this sin and mourning stuff isn't very popular today. Not very popular in the church, and especially not very popular in our culture. In fact, the word sin is often not even used in many churches today. And certainly mourning, feeling sorrow because of one's sin, that's even a further stretch. Yet 87% of adults in the United States believe in the existence of sin, which is defined as something that is almost always considered wrong, particularly from a religious or a moral perspective. People still basically know what sin is. The struggle, you see, is the mourning part, the mourning over one's sin. We mix up happiness and holiness, and God is no longer becomes the reference point. For example, only 81% of Americans recognize adultery as sin. What about that 19% who don't? You know, 74% recognize racism as sin, and 26% don't. And here's a really big one. 45% of Americans call premarital sex sin. In other words, 55% of Americans see fornication as just fine. But you know that sex before marriage, that fornication thing, it's listed right in there when Jesus talks about that, right alongside adulterers and murderers too. Huh. You see, if one cannot mourn one's sin because I just don't see it or sin, because, you know, our culture, everybody lives with everybody and everyone has sex before marriage, and so, gosh, you know, I just don't really see that as sin, or hey, you know, I live by my own rules, or I'm not as bad as some. My. If one's heart cannot break because of the brokenness of our relationship with God, then how in the world do we come to Christ? How do we receive forgiveness? I mean, this is the emotional counterpart to knowing that we have brokenness. And if one does not mourn, how do you come to Christ? How can we stay in Christ? Spiritual mourning is necessary in our walk with Jesus. How can one be forgiven if you're never sorry for the sin? Oh, I recognize it as sin, Lord. Please forgive me. But yet if your heart doesn't mourn over it, I'm talking smack about someone in the church and I'm treating somebody as the way I shouldn't be, not Christian at all. How can you be forgiven when your heart doesn't mourn over that? Probably the best example of this is when Congressman Daniel Crane and Gerald Studs were censored by the House of Representatives. Now, this was years and years and years ago, but man, it is a great example. One of the probably the best I've ever seen. Crane was censored for having sexual relations with a 17-year-old female page, and Studs for having sexual relations with a 17-year-old male page. Two men basically committing the same act, the same sin. Congressman Crane tearfully admitted to his district and then to the full House that he broke the laws of God and of man, casting a vote for his very own censor as he faced the House of Representatives, as he faced the House with the Speaker to his back when they announced the tally. Congressman Studs, well, he acknowledged that he was gay to the House, that he had defended the relationship with the page as mutual and voluntary. He then said that he abided by the age of consent and said that his relationship didn't warrant the attention or the action of the House. Studs then voted present on the censor and heard the verdict from the Speaker with his back to the House. Two men who basically commit the very same act, but two very different responses. One recognizing, mourning. One mourning his sin. The other essentially saying, I just don't see it as sin. You see, the saddest thing in life is not a sorrowing heart, but a heart that is incapable of grief over one's sin. For it is without grace by its very own choosing. Without poverty of spirit, no one enters the kingdom of God. Likewise, without its emotional counterpart, grief over one's sin, no one receives the comfort, the forgiveness, the salvation. Truly, blessed, approved are those who mourn, who grieve over their own personal sin, whose hearts break and sorrow over the injustices and the brokenness and the sin of our world, for they will be comforted. And church, that is good news. That is good news. God, you see, does not leave us in our mourning, in our sorrow. Oh, the comfort of mourning is forgiveness, and it is immediate and it is complete. It is being set free from the guilt of our choices. And I love the Greek word used for they will be comforted. It has the very same root that we get the word paraclete from, which is also used for the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us and the one who comforts us. God's comfort, you see, is relational. It comes in the form of His divine companionship. God is our ally. You know, He personally binds up our sorrows and consoles us. You see, that comfort is immediate. It comes to us alone. It comes personally in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it is based on the forgiveness of our sins. And that is why we are called blessed. That's why we are called approved. Church, the best image, I think, that I can give you of blessed are those who mourn, for they are comforted, is found in that story of the prodigal son. Oh my, Jesus tells us how this young man left his father, separating himself from his father. You see the separation, I'm separating myself. This is called sin, separating himself from the father. And he went and he lived by his own rules, by doing his own thing, throwing aside what he knew was right and good in his heart. And for a while, life was good until the consequences of his sin caught up with him. He squanders his inheritance. He has nothing left. The pigs have even a better than life than he. He is ruined. But in this beggarly state, this understanding, this knowledge of I am wrong, I've blown it, in this beggarly state, he recognizes his condition and then he mourns. His heart breaks because of what he has done to himself and what he has done to the Father. And in the midst of his misery, he says in his heart, I'm going to set out and I'm going to go back to my Father. I'm going to say to my Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your... Do you get the mourning? Do you hear it in that? So he gets up and he goes to his father, but while he's still a long way off, his father sees him and he's filled with compassion for him, and he runs to his son and he throws his arms around him and kisses him. And the father forgave him immediately and completely. Isn't that a beautiful image? Isn't that a beautiful image? It's beautiful because it's the image of blessed are those who mourn their sin, because they'll be comforted. God will wrap his arms around you and he'll draw you close and he'll forgive you and he'll call you his child. This is the image of blessed are those who mourn their sin, for they'll be comforted completely, immediately. Next Sunday is blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. I hope you can be here. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit and the comfort and the courage that you give to us when we come to the understanding of knowing our beggarly state and our separation from you, and when our heart breaks of that and we mourn over that separation and that sin that we've committed. And God, how when we come to you, you forgive us completely. Oh Lord, you comfort us, and in that comfort we are made whole. Lord, we love you and we thank you for that wonderful gift. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.